The gravel of the courthouse parking lot crunches under my boots. I do not look at the cameras. I do not look at the suits from the city. I keep my eyes on the ridgeline. The Blue Ridge is bruised purple this morning. It looks the way a body looks after a hard labor. Heavy, silent. I carry my leather bag. The strap is worn thin. My grandmother carried this bag. She delivered half the men currently trying to ruin me. Now they call my work a crime. They call it practicing medicine without a license. I call it keeping my neighbors alive. The air inside the hearing room is thin. It smells like floor wax and old paper. There are three people on the board. They sit behind a long oak desk. They look like they have never seen a day of hard sun. They look like they have never had blood under their fingernails. The chairman clears his throat. He says my name. He says, I am a danger to the public. He says my methods are primitive. He says the state requires a standard of care I cannot provide. I sit in the hard wooden chair. I do not speak yet. I think about Sarah Miller. She is 19. She lives at the end of a hollow that the ambulances won't even drive up. Last winter, the snow was 4 feet deep. Sarah was bleeding. Her baby was stuck. The doctors in the city were 50 miles away. The roads were sheets of ice. I walked 3 miles in snowshoes to get to her. I used my hands. I used the knowledge passed down through 5 generations of women. Sarah lived. The baby lived. The board doesn't care about the snow. They care about the paperwork. They care about the letters after a name. Mrs. Walker, the chairman says. Do you deny performing a breech delivery on January 14th? I look him in the eye. I do not blink. I don't deny saving a life. I say. My voice is steady. It is the voice I use when a mother is panicking. You are not a doctor, a woman on the board says. She wears a silk scarf. You have no formal training. You are putting these women at risk. I feel the heat rise in my chest. It is a slow burn. It starts in my gut and moves to my throat. I have seen more births than you have seen files, I say. I have stayed awake for 40 hours straight holding a woman's hand. I have been paid in jars of honey and bags of corn, because that is all they have. The room is quiet. I see the local sheriff at the back of the room. He looks at the floor. I delivered his sister. I delivered his youngest son. He knows the truth. But the truth doesn't matter in a room with a court reporter. The chairman leans forward. He looks at me with pity. That is the worst part. The pity of a man who thinks he is helping people he doesn't understand. We are issuing a cease and desist, he says, effective immediately. If you attend another birth, you will be arrested. You will face a felony charge. He hits a wooden gavel. The sound is like a gunshot. It echoes off the high ceiling. I stand up. I pick up my bag. I walk out of the room. I do not wait for them to finish their legal talk. The sun is higher now. The heat is starting to bake the pavement. I get into my truck. The interior smells like dried lavender and antiseptic. It is the smell of my life. I drive toward the mountains. I leave the paved roads behind. I turn onto the dirt track that leads to my hollow. My hands are shaking on the steering wheel. Not from fear, from a cold, hard anger. They think a piece of paper stops a baby from coming. They think a law changes the way the world works up here. I pull into my driveway. My house is small. It sits under the shadow of a great oak. On my porch, there is a man waiting. It is Jesse Vance. He looks tired. He has mud on his boots. Mora, he says. He doesn't look me in the eye. It's Callie. She's started. It's too early. She's scared. I look at my house. I look at the phone on the wall inside. I could call the hospital. I could tell Jesse to drive her down the mountain. But I know Callie. She has a heart condition. The stress of a city hospital would kill her before the labor did. I look at the road behind me. I expect to see the sheriff's cruiser. I expect to see the state board with their handcuffs. How early? I ask. 2 months, Jesse says. His voice breaks. She's bleeding, Mora. Please. This is the power flip. This is the moment they took my life and turned it into a weapon. If I go, I am a criminal. If I stay, I am a murderer. I look at the Blue Ridge. The mountains don't care about the board. They don't care about the law. They only care about what is. I reach into the truck and grab my bag. Get in, I tell Jesse. We drive fast. The dust clouds the rearview mirror. I can't see the world I left behind. I only see the trees. I only see the climbing road. We reach the van's cabin. It is a gray shack tucked against the rock. I hear Callie before I see her. It is a high, thin sound. It is the sound of a trapped animal. I walk inside. The room is dim. It smells of wood smoke and sweat. Callie is on the bed. Her face is white as a sheet. There is blood on the quilt. Too much blood. I drop to my knees beside her. I don't think about the hearing. I don't think about the felony. I open my bag. I'm here, Callie, I say. I take her hand. Her skin is cold. They said you couldn't come, she whispers. Her eyes are wide. They said the law stopped you. The law isn't here, I say. Only we are. I work for 6 hours. It is a war. The baby is tiny. He is the size of a squirrel. He is blue. I have to breathe for him. I use a small glass tube. I puff air into his lungs. I pray to a God I haven't spoken to in years. Come on, little one. Breathe. The baby gasps. It is a tiny, wet sound. Then he cries. It is a thin wail, but it is life. I wrap him in a warm flannel. I place him on Callie's chest. She is breathing steady now. The bleeding has stopped. She looks at her son. She looks at me. You saved us, she says. I don't answer. I am looking at the window. Blue and red lights are reflecting off the glass. They are coming up the drive. The dust hasn't even settled yet. Someone called them. Someone was afraid of the law more than they were afraid for Callie. I sit on the edge of the bed. I am covered in blood. I am covered in the truth of the world. I hear the boots on the porch. I hear the sheriff's voice. He sounds like he's about to cry. Maura Walker, you need to come out. I look at the baby. He is pink now. He is warm. He is alive. I stood in that hearing room and they told me I was a danger. They told me I was a crime. I stand up. I wash my hands in the basin. I straighten my shirt. I don't hide my bag. I walk to the door. I look at the sheriff. He has the handcuffs out. He won't look at me. Behind him, two men in suits are standing by a black sedan. They look triumphant. They look like they won. I step out onto the porch. I hold out my wrists. I saved the boy. I saved the mother. That is the only law that matters on this mountain. They can lock me in a cell. They can take my house. They can strip my name. But they cannot undeliver that child. They cannot take back the life I gave. The metal is cold against my skin. The clicks are loud in the quiet mountain air. As they lead me to the car, I hear the baby cry again from inside the house. I smile. It is a hard, jagged thing. I am going to jail. I will never be allowed to hold this bag again. I will never be allowed to walk a hollow in the dark. I have lost everything, and I have never felt more in control. The car door shuts. The mountains watch us go. They will be here long after the board is dust. They will remember who I am.